Hello and welcome to another Veterinary Team Training Podcast. My name is Amy Newfound. I'm both the host and owner of Vet Team Training. Please check out all my other blogs, vlogs, and podcasts at vetteamtraining.com. So today I want to talk about setting the bar. And this is probably one of those like secondary life lessons where we're going to be talking about setting the bar in a hospital, but also setting a bar for your own life, because I think the two are interchangeable when we talk about setting the bar. First and foremost, what is this bar that we speak of? Well, it's kind of the benchmark where we see people in our hospital aspiring to. And we, as leaders, or even for your own self, you're setting yourself a bar every single day. How do you want to perform? And for some of us, the bar is set really, really high. And some of us, the bar is set really, really low. But here's why bar setting is important. Whatever we decide to set that bar to, we then have a benchmark to be able to hold people accountable. So what does this look like from a leadership perspective, but also just day-to-day life? Again, I think there's a direct correlation. And in doing this podcast, I wasn't quite sure that I wanted to do one on bar setting, but then I found so many articles on setting bars for one's own life. In looking at this research of bar setting and whether or not there was any data out there, there's actually a significant amount of data. Whether or not you want to set the bar really high or whether or not you want to set the bar really low. I think one of the most interesting studies out there was the way that bar setting actually is processed in your brain. As we know, dopamine leads to happiness. And dopamine gets released whenever we go ahead and do something and accomplish something and we get a little jolt. You know, for people who really love to participate in sports like running or high endurance athletes, they are constantly releasing a lot of serotonin and dopamine, and they're getting almost like this adrenaline high constantly. Well, it's interesting because every time that you accomplish something, your brain will release a little bit of dopamine, and this helps to elevate your energy and motivation, kind of like a Pavlovian response. It felt good, I'm more likely to repeat that behavior, and therefore I feel like a big winner because I was able to accomplish something. So where do we really want to set the bar? Either in our own lives or whether or not it be a workplace environment. Well, the reality is most psychologists will tell you, you want the bar to be obtainable. And that makes sense, right? You don't want it to be so low that you don't get that dopamine response, but you don't want it to be so high that you end up feeling defeated. So you want to be able to basically achieve it, but you want a little bit of challenge. So there's no perfect bar setting per se, but what we know is your brain will literally light up with pleasure and you're going to get a little bit of a hit of dopamine when you've accomplished something that requires a small to moderate amount of effort. I mean, arguably, the larger the effort, the more dopamine is probably going to be released. And so as you can see, taking baby steps in anything that you do in life, including even in a hospital setting, is going to help produce little dopamine responses throughout the day, and you're more likely to have that energy and motivation to keep moving forward. So how does this work in our practices? Well, we often see a lot of emphasis on people who are underperforming, and we want to help the underperforming, and that's really important. We have to be able to help the underperforming individuals within our hospital. Even in our own lives, again, how does this correlate? Well, there's moments where you're performing really good, and then there's moments where you just start exhausted and you're not wanting to motivate yourself. So you're underperforming. You know it, you feel it, you're not eating great, you're not sleeping well, you're kind of depressed, you're in what I like to call the funk, right? I think we all know what that means. And so how do we help both the underperforming or even ourselves when we get down into that pit and we have to figure out how to get ourselves out? Well, first and foremost, we really need to make sure that we find a way to challenge our employees. I will be the first one to admit that I have left jobs because I've become stagnant and bored. If I keep doing the same thing over and over and I'm not challenged, well, then I'm not getting those dopamine hits. I'm just going through the motions. For about 6 years of my life, I worked in a food store, in a grocery store, and I checked out groceries. And so I just scanned them over the scanner. By the way, this is the dark ages when dinosaurs roamed the earth, and there was absolutely no self-checkout, kids. That didn't exist. So I know some of you are like, damn, she's real old. So anyway, this is before the time everybody had to come through an actual cashier. So I ran through groceries, and the first, you know, maybe 6 months to a year, there was a little bit of a challenge in it. I was like, wow, I'm really learning this. And at the time you had to learn, and you still, a lot of cashiers still have to learn produce codes. So I remember 632 was Macintosh apples. I still have that in my head. But after, as the years went on, and after a while, I started becoming bored. This became just a monotonous job where I just took my right arm, grabbed the next product, scanned it, smiled at someone, said the exact same thing over and over, laughed at their jokes, went ahead, got them charged out, and moved on to the next customer. And I was pretty fast at doing it. But the reality was, is no more dopamine response. Therefore, this was not going to be a job I was going to stay in for long term. So we have to completely infuse dopamine responses through our day by setting bars. And for me, my bar setting was obvious. I was in college. I was trying to graduate. That was the bar I was going to. And once I graduated, finally, I could move away from the grocery store job, get a veterinary technology job. And I was super excited about it. So when we look at our employees, we have some that are underperforming, and we have some that are doing really well, and we have some that are superstars. Okay, where should most of our emphasis be? Well, most of our emphasis needs to be on our superstars. But what a lot of us don't realize we're doing is we're setting the bar too low, and our superstars become not challenged. And then the people mostly in the middle who are doing a good job, right? They're not like the superstars, but they're not underperforming either. They start to slide as well. Bar setting matters because it's the level at which we expect all employees to play. And that has to be fair and equal across the board. So what does that look like? I once worked with this amazing veterinary technician specialist. She's a VTS in emergency critical care. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, I would literally trust her with any one of my own pets. And you know, people, that is saying a lot. Whenever you trust somebody with your own animals, that means you really think they're super amazing. She was also so awesome with everybody on the team. She's so kind. She would occasionally bring everybody Starbucks. She pulled a lot of extra floor shifts, which was super amazing. She like would switch shifts with you if you needed her to switch with you. She was a real team player. But she came in late 10 or 15 minutes every single day. And it's so easy to say, well, we just know that's who she is and that's why she's allowed to get away with it. But the reality is it's not okay. Because what ends up happening is other employees who may not be the shining superstar that she is gets to start to see that she gets away with 10 or 15 minutes. And then what ends up happening? That bar gets set lower. And let me be very clear. In veterinary medicine, it is important that you show up on time because what we do is shift work. It's not just office flex time. I can show up between some hours between 8 and 10 and that's okay because I work in an office. Nope. Clients are expecting us. We have surgeries to do. We have to be in on time. And I'm going to go down a weird segue, but then I'll come back to the podcast. If your shift starts at 8 o'clock in the morning, that means you actually have to show up at 7:45 a.m. You're going to put away your things. You're going to say hello to everybody and you're going to start work at 8 o'clock. I once did some consulting work and I just felt so bad because this client service representative was the only person up front. It was literally super busy hospital. In total, they had about 15 doctors. And this particular day, they had 6 doctors on, 2 of surgeons and the other 4 were receiving either unexpected, you know, ill visits or exam visits. The reality was, is they had a line out their door because the employees were expected to start at 8 o'clock, but that's also when the clinic opened. Now, one client service representative was there at 7:45. She was prepared to work at 8 o'clock. The rest all strolled in at 8 o'clock, 8:03, 8:05. And by the time they got up front and were ready to work, it's now 8:20. Clients are angry. And this poor CSR who's been up here by herself was completely stressed out. That's unacceptable. That's where the bar has been set so low that no one even cares anymore about the bar because it's just at the bottom. And so when we go back to that superstar employee, it's so easy to say, but she does all these great things for us. We don't want to upset her. We don't want to lose her. Here's the reality. Superstars need to be superstars at the bar that was set. And if the bar means, oh, everybody's allowed to show up late 10 or 15 minutes, well, then that's where the bar gets set. But the minute we give permission for our superstar to go ahead and come in later, well, then the bar gets lowered. And then that gives permission for everyone else to go ahead and have that bar lowered. And what ends up happening? Well, people get stressed out. And now, unfortunately, dopamine isn't happening because everyone's angry, because things are backed up. And why are things backed up? Because you simply couldn't come in on time. And we see this all the time in veterinary medicine. We see our highest grossing doctors who are doing fantastic work, but they're really cranky and they're really angry and they say nasty things. Or maybe they say things that are discriminatory or biased or racist, whatever it is, we allow them permission because, well, that's just who they are. The reality is that if we have a bar set where we don't accept those things in our hospitals, then we can't accept it. Because the minute we drop the bar, that gives permission for everyone. And if you're a leader listening to this, some of you have set your bar so low that now your superstars are actually faltering as well. They're looking at the fact that, oh, this person has now been given permission to act out a fool or be allowed to gossip. And we give them excuses by, well, it's just who they are. And now the bar gets lowered and now they're acting out of normalcy and they're acting negative and they're gossiping. And we're like, what's going on with the team? And it's simply because the bar has ticked, tick, tick down lower and lower. We started with opening this hospital and expecting everything to be so high and good quality and good culture, and now we've given permission to fail. So what does this look like in everyday life? So as I mentioned, sometimes we fall into a pit and we don't feel very good about ourselves and we feel like we're in that funk and we're actually clinically depressed. And we have to recognize that at this point, we don't have a bar set. And without a bar set, without any goal that is obtainable, we're just going to stay at the bottom. So what's our goal? Maybe our goal is, I don't want to feel like this anymore, so I need to go talk to someone so that I can get out of this. Or I don't like the job I'm in, I need to start searching for another job. Or I'm in a rut at my job because I don't get any more of those dopamine releases, so therefore I need to challenge myself in some other sort of way. Bar setting is key, not only in our jobs to hold people to the performance, but also in life so that we feel like we're reaching goals and that we are making a difference, but also so that we can get those little dopamine rushes and we're like, yeah, we're doing something. This is really amazing. So it's interesting because when we think about setting the bar, some argue that the bar can only be set at a certain level because not everybody is the most knowledgeable. There's a book, Angela Duckworth. She wrote the book called Grit. It's pretty good. Check it out if you want to. And it's The Power of Passion and Perseverance. And basically what she argues is that, you know, the most successful people are not the ones with the highest IQ, but actually the people who work the hardest and who also constantly accomplish something. It's basically has to do with grit and drive. And it's very interesting, all the research and information in there to say that, listen, you don't necessarily need to set a bar that has to do with you being the smartest person or only smart people can obtain that bar. That's not actually a bar that I think anyone wants to try to obtain. However, when we look at kind of bar setting in our own lives or bar setting in a workplace environment, this sense of here's where you can get to if you work hard needs to happen. So one of the things I always advocate, for example, is that every role within the job or within a hospital has to have a career path. One of the ones that gets forgotten about is the client service representative. You know, they're often younger individuals who maybe not quite sure what they want to do with their career. They love animals. They see that there's a vet clinic receptionist position. They go and apply and think, this is a nice interim solution. You know how we don't lose those people? If we constantly have a bar for them to obtain. But unfortunately, we give them no bars. We're like, here's a telephone. Good luck. Clients are going to yell at you. I hope you figure it out. We're going to provide you no tools and resources. When clients are really combative, we are not going to provide you any tools on conflict resolution. When clients are grieving in front of your face because they just lost a pet, you're not going to know how to manage that. So good luck, because we have a bar. You're never going to get to it. No tools or resources. That can be very frustrating, right? We need to provide people a clear career path with benchmarks, aka bar setting, along the way. And we're more likely to have employees that stay with us. And what can client service representatives do? Well, a lot of them do gravitate into veterinary assistants, veterinary technician, veterinary nurse positions. The other thing, leadership roles. Yes, they're part of the operations group. So it's so amazing that once we start setting bars and giving people benchmarks that are obtainable, that they're going to go ahead and be more successful. Mia Hamm, very popular American soccer star, aka football for the rest of you in the world, said the following: celebrate what you've accomplished, but raise the bar a little higher each time you succeed. Because you already made that goal, raise it up a little bit higher, and you're going to find those constant dopamine drips. So what happens when people start to slip? Why can't we just like set the bar low? We've talked about why we can't, but what are we supposed to do when our highest performer starts coming in a little late, or our highest grossing doctor starts to be cranky and maybe throws things, or, you know, starts snapping at the staff? What can we really do to get that bar back up so that not everybody then falls below the bar? Because that's not what we want for our veterinary hospital. First and foremost, timing is everything. Once we start to find that our good employee or any employee starts coming in late or having a behavior problem, we've got to address it right away. We can't think, well, they've never done this before, I'm sure they're just going to correct themselves. So we really need to make sure that we're on top of it, because we want them back at the bar that we set. And if things like respect and psychological safety are part of that bar, which they should be in all hospitals, then we want to get that person back to having good psychological safety, good communication skills, and addressing the issues within a week or less of the occurrence is really important. Use this for your own life. Again, I found this direct correlation. I wasn't that excited about setting a bar. Someone came to me and was like, Amy, can you do a podcast on like where we should set the bar for our employees? And I was like, maybe, but there's such a direct correlation. Timing is everything for us as well. The minute we start to feel ourselves slump, the minute we start to realize we're negative in a workplace environment, we have to start looking internally and going, hey, and that requires high emotional intelligence to say, hey, what's really going on here, and getting to the bottom of it so we don't continue to slump and give permission for maladaptive behaviors. The minute that we start eating poorly, the minute that we stop exercising, hold up, what's going on with me, and really owning that. And then for your employees, have that conversation, a real face-to-face conversation, but stay away from phrases that are really negative, like you're really disappointing to me, or you make me sad with your recent performance. It's not about you. It's about them. Hey, what's going on? This doesn't seem like you, and I care about you. And you know, here we have this, you know, Happy Paws Veterinary Hospital. We've got a culture of good psychological safety. And I've heard you've been snapping at some people, and that's not like you. What's happening? Get to the root of the problem. It's imperative that you get that information basically from the other person. Don't assume you know their story. And this is true, again, even with yourself. Having that conversation with yourself, getting yourself out of that slump, getting to the root of the problem of why you're behaving the way that you are, why you're feeling the way that you are, or why maybe you failed at a recent task, get to the root of it and then find a solution. You know, in terms of employees that, are slumping because of behavior problem, a lot of times leadership will say, you know what, you really need to be more positive. The team is coming to me and telling me you're super negative. Well, what does that mean? First of all, why are they so negative? But lastly, what does that really mean? What does negativity versus positivity mean? And what does it look like in a workplace environment? Can we provide them tools and resources? Can we talk about reframing or assuming good intention? And then checking in with them is really key. We can't just have one conversation and walk away and go, that's fine. We have to constantly go back to it. And if we find that they keep going below the bar and below the bar, we have to ask ourselves, is the bar fair? Because in some veterinary hospitals, it's not fair. Great example. Let's do the tab the tape story. This is one of those iconic stories that I'm just going to tell a million times because it was so unreal. We had two technician managers at this hospital I worked at. And first and foremost, most matrix leadership systems don't work. And that's what it calls, that's what it's called when you have two leaderships, individuals that you both equally report to. It wasn't that one had half the team and the other had half the team. Nope, they were side by side and it was utter chaos, as one can imagine. Well, these two might have ruled with an iron fist, and their idea of bar setting, it was so unobtainable. They spent the majority of their leadership time just yelling at people and telling them how they sucked. Case in point, we had this team meeting, and I worked in the emergency department at the time. We had a team meeting, deadpan, completely straight face. They said, listen, we're having a real problem with tabbing the tape on our IV catheters. Now, for those of you who are not familiar, let's go down the route of the issue of not tabbing tape. In a day clinic, in a, you know, where you're just doing spays and neuters, or you're just cleaning teeth and you're sending them home, tapping the tape is not a big deal in a catheter because you don't have to unwrap, troubleshoot catheters that often, you know, really get to the source of you know, why the catheter might be kinked or clotted or things like that. When you have hospitalized patients, after a period of 24 hours, you should be ideally unwrapping catheters, looking for issues, really troubleshooting, and animals urinate or vomit or disconnect their IV catheters, which requires you to unwrap, troubleshoot them, and rewrap them. Untaping a catheter, especially now that we don't have the good tape. Oh gosh, memories. All right, I'm not going to sing, but you all know what I'm talking about. So now that we have garbage tape, it's really hard to unpeel the sticky tape that we're all dealing with in our hospitals. So therefore, you need to tap the tape. So in hospitalized pet situations, tapping tape is really key because you have a little tab that you can then quickly unwrap your tape. Case in point, tabbing the tape. So let's get back to the story. Here we are at this meeting, deadpan stare. These two individuals said, we've noticed that there's a lot of people who are not tabbing their tape. And we're like, okay. And they're like, so we've decided that if you get caught not tabbing the tape on the third time, you will be sent home without pay. And I was like, in my head thinking, this is very severe. Where is the bar and what is happening with this bar? Is it so unobtainable? I remember I did forget to tab the tape one time. I got taken to their office. I had to sign a form that said I recognized that I didn't tab the tape and that two more times I was going to be sent home without pay. This is an unrealistic bar, people. It's just simply unrealistic. But then we have very realistic, common, and I would say almost employment contractual obligations where the bar should be. You should come in on time. You should treat people with respect. You should be kind. But there's also contractual agreements that your employer has, which is they pay you on time. They are kind to you. They have a psychologically safe workplace environment. So for both of those things, we have to make sure that with our employees, we set fair and reasonable bars. But what happens when we have no bars? Well, like I said, our employees get freaking bored. They get bored. They're like, I don't know what I'm doing here. There's no growth. There's no opportunity. And we're going to go ahead and leave. So one of the things we get asked all the time is when somebody just outrightly refuses to meet the bar. You've set the bar. You've had discussions. They're still coming in late and you don't know what to do. You need to stop enabling them. You absolutely should try and help to coach your poor performers. Those underperformers, you want to sit them down. You want to have conversations, document. But you want to give them a good and reasonable amount of time of your effort. However, if you keep only focusing on the underperforming, what happens to the superstars? What happens to the people doing a good job? Well, the reality is that unfortunately, you start having those people come down to a lower bar. And so let the team see what great means and what the bar is by focusing on the superstars. When we can lift the superstars, the great performers up on a pedestal, the rest of the team is going to see the benefits of that. They're going to see those people are getting dopamine responses. Those people are getting extra bonuses. They're getting raises. They're getting promotions. They're challenged. They're getting to go to conferences. They're getting extra CE. They're getting to do things that they're asking for, and I'm not getting that. I must not be meeting that bar. And when we explain to our underperformers, oh, well, Amy gets X, Y, and Z because she has met X, Y, and Z, well, then that's where the bar is set. And here's a little secret. If managers focused more on building up good employees and helping them to focus on their career paths and goals, the team simply would be stronger. The more bar setting that you set and more little tiny challenges that you give for your great performers, well, then they're going to go ahead and benefit from that. And I encourage you to certainly do your due diligence with your underperformers, but stop chasing and trying to fix your underperformers to the point of exhaustion. And this is true for your own life. So let's bring it back to your own life, even if you're not in a leadership role. You're in a funk, right? you have attempted to maybe get yourself out of that funk. But after a while, if you don't pull yourself out of that funk, that becomes the new normal. And now, unfortunately, you've resigned yourself to living in a depressive or negative state of mind because you have not set the bar in a way that either is obtainable or just makes you desire to get yourself out of where you're at. So the reality is that bar setting works not only for your own life, but also in a hospital. I want you to go ahead and focus on that actual superstar more than the underperformer. When we give our time and energy to positivity, then positivity is going to reap that reward. When we give our time and energy to negativity, underperforming, well, that's where our focus is and that's where the bar gets set. It's not that the underperformer can't be helped, it's just that they're not open to help. And so I want you to put your focus back on your best employees. And this is true for yourself. I want you to focus on the best attributes of yourself. If you fail at something, you know what? There's so many other wonderful things that you can do. So I want you to go ahead and focus on things that are going to make you successful. Not that you know or guaranteed to be successful, because you need that dopamine response. I want you to give yourself just a little bit of a challenge, something that is obtainable so that you get that dopamine response. You go, yes, I decided to leave this hospital. It was very scary doing so, but I'm so glad I did because here's the benefits to that. Put more energy into focusing on those who are already strengthening your team rather than those that are weakening it. The minute that we start to focus on that bar that's too low, everybody gravitates to the bar that's too low. Everybody ends up in that negative state, in that negative mindset, and nobody wins. So I hope that this helps you because, again, somebody asked me, can you talk about setting a bar in a hospital? And there's no perfect level at which that bar is set. But in conscious effort of making sure that you make mini challenges for everybody within your workplace environment, that's going to get you better return. And if you don't have any challenges at all, people are going to get bored. They're going to leave. And this is true even in your own life. If you don't challenge yourself, you don't get that dopamine response. You're going to go through every single day going, what am I doing here? Why am I doing it? Life is so great. Challenge yourself in it. I think some of the best rewards I've ever received in life is from massive dopamine responses because I decided to do crazy stuff that I thought there's no way this is going to work. And then it did. And I was like, oh my gosh. And it felt so good. Remember that if you failed, that's okay. Maybe the bar was too high, or maybe this isn't for you, but you can challenge yourself in a different way. Failure teaches you about yourself. It's not truly a failure. I know that sounds so cliche because it is failing, but you learn every single time you fall down and you get back up. You think, okay, well, I've learned how to get back up from this particular failure, or I've learned, hey, I'm not going to go down this path. It's not worth my time or effort. One of the things that I've constantly been saying to myself as I've gotten older in my life is, what is the return on investment? And if I set the bar here and I achieve it and I work really hard, am I going to feel really good about accomplishing whatever? Or did I just decide to take on way too much? And even if I get to that bar, I'm going to be bitter and angry about it because it's not worth my time. What is that return on investment? And that is true also in a hospital setting. When we decide to create career paths for our client service representatives, or we build out skill levels for our technicians, or we say, hey, if you know you all come in on time or whatever it is, you get rewarded with X, Y, and Z. What's that return on investment? If it's going to produce consistent positive behaviors, then absolutely do it. If it's so unobtainable that the staff is saying, there's no way none of us can do that, what you want us to do isn't possible, then that probably needs to back off, like tabbing the tape. Nobody's ever going to be completely perfect at tabbing the tape. I actually am pretty damn good right now, by the way. But you might mess up, and that's okay. We have to give permission and a little bit of grace because the bar, maybe it wiggles a little bit, but we keep it where it's supposed to be. Thank you so much for everything that you do. As I always like to say, keep on being a unicorn, and please check out all my other blogs, vlogs, and podcasts at vetteamtraining.com.